Welcome to the Well Woman Show, where we use intersectional feminism, mindfulness, leadership, and strategy to support smart women to change the world without anxiety, insecurity, and burnout. On the show, we challenge the status quo and support you to unlearn harmful messages that keep you playing small so you can activate your superpowers and live with joy, confidence, and ease. I'm your host, Giovanna Rossi. Hello, hello, well women. On the show today, I interview Raquel Benavides, a businesswoman, an advocate for women, and a leader for Latina equal pay. But before I tell you more about her, let's talk a bit about International Women's Day, recognized each year on March 8th. UN Women is the United Nations entity dedicated to gender equality and the empowerment of women. A global champion for women and girls, UN Women was established to accelerate progress on meeting women's needs worldwide. UN Women recently called on investing in women as the best solution to face growing crises, really centering women in the solutions. In a news release from the United Nations, UN Women stated that in a year where almost half of the population lives in a country undergoing an election, this International Women's Day is a crucial opportunity to define the future we want. As conflict, climate change, and polarizing societies are eroding decades of progress in gender equality, the UN's theme, Invest in Women, Accelerate Progress, is so critical, and I just wanted to lift that up here on the Well Woman Show to really recognize what UN Women is doing this International Women's Day and Women's History Month. And in the news, Ms. Magazine reports this week that the recent Alabama Supreme Court ruling that frozen embryos created by in vitro fertilization, or IVF, are children, lays the groundwork for banning most forms of contraception. Citing Bible passages and referring to God 41 times, the decision put a halt to fertility treatments in Alabama, but it threatens to have a much broader impact on the ability of people to prevent pregnancy by using contraception. Senator Tammy Duckworth, who had both of her children using IVF, said, "If a fertilized egg is a person, then you run into all sorts of risks in terms of birth control." And Hillary Clinton on social media said, "They came for abortion first, now it's IVF, and next it'll be birth control." Now, on the Well Woman Show, in celebration of Women's History Month and International Women's Day, Raquel Benavides is on the show with me. She's an advocate and leader for Latina equal pay and CEO of Bien Loca Industries, a medical and recreational cultivation and processing company with delivery and distribution and retail licenses in New Mexico. On the show, we discuss the importance of self-awareness and discernment in embracing one's unique identity while letting go of negative traits, reevaluating competition while advocating for women and addressing challenges women face in male-dominated fields, and fully embracing one's unique perspective and abilities without worrying what others think in order to effectively express yourself and your leadership. For the full interview, including a deep dive into the Four Agreements work Raquel has been leading, listen to the podcast episode 329, available on NPR Podcasts or at our website. The Well Woman Show is thankful for support from Collective Action Strategies, a consulting firm that supports systemic change so that women and families thrive, and by the Well Woman Life Movement Challenge Quiz at wellwomanlife.com/quiz. As always, all the links and information are at wellwomanlife.com/radio.
I'm speaking with Raquel Benavides this morning. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's exciting to finally be here.
Yes, I'm excited to talk to you. You, as we heard in the introduction, you have such a breadth and depth of experience and leadership. I'm really, you know, excited to introduce you to the Well Woman Show and to the listeners. And Raquel, thank you. I just want to start by asking you, who are you in the world today?
It depends on who you ask.
I'm asking you.
You know, one of my beautiful, she's a female guru in India. One of her quotes is, "I'm 1,000 women because 1,000 women have laid their eyes on me." And I just absolutely love that. It just has a sense of humility, and it has a sense of the impacts we also have in positions of influence, right? And so who I think I am versus how other people see me is very different. I have my own insecurities and fears and all these things that I'm constantly fighting every day to overcome and to be better. And then sometimes in the business world, I find that I'm a huge advocate and I fight for other people's opportunities and possibilities so that they can have their business be whatever they want to be, you know, within business. So, and then I just try to do that within my businesses, right? I'm always trying to have my businesses be a reflection of that and allow more opportunity for more women and more men that want to accomplish their dreams. So I kind of like being that conduit of like allowing and helping people, right? Really supporting people. So yeah, that's a big question, Giovanna.
I know. I love to start with that. Well, I just want to pick up on something you said, which is so interesting and really probably resonates with people a lot, which is sort of this idea that the way we perceive ourselves can be very mm-hmm. different from the way other people perceive us. And, mm-hmm. you know, you have all of these titles and roles in the world that other people see and interact with. And then mm-hmm. there's, you know, you with your fears and your insecurities and everything, mm-hmm. and it can feel quite different.
Yeah. And I think the thing too, is I think first, to a certain extent, any woman that's been in a corporate job and in her industry, you know, we're all dealing with those things. So we talk a lot about imposter syndrome. But I do think in my training and with the, again, the mentors and the teachers I've had, Mama Gaia was a beautiful mentor for me. And of course, Don Miguel, and always understanding there's no out there. That was one of the biggest things. So like the whole world is your reflection. So then I have to ask myself, like, well, why are we reflecting what we're reflecting? Why do I feel that about myself? Is that me or was that given to me? And so that's the life journey, right? Like, is it nature versus nurture? Like, what is my personality? This is just this attribute that I've been given that is unique to being Raquel in this body. And then what is part of our society that's giving it to me as a Latina, you know, Chicana, being raised in a very dominant male family, you know, and I love that. But sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, we're aggressive. You know, like, so you have to take into your culture and how we perceive ourselves and what the expectations are and what's been put on us as women and all of that yeah. thing. And so I think I spend a lot of time, you know, you're discerning, like, what do I want to keep? And that was given to me. That was an attribute that was given to me, but I think I want to keep that.
And that yeah. takes real intention though, right? Like really discerning.
It does.
Like, which pieces do I want to keep and which pieces do I want to let go of?
Absolutely.
Too?
Yes. Yes. Like it takes a lot of grace for yourself because when you find that something that you don't like, you know, or that's not working for you and the judgments you have, you better be like, oh, okay. How do I adjust this?
Well, speaking of compassion and particularly self-compassion. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you have a real leadership and skill in, or I'm adding that part, but in helping other people, right? Helping mm-hmm. other women with their businesses, helping other people with their leadership and their lives. And do you find, and can you talk a little bit about sort of the difference between being able to go and help somebody else and being very confident and almost like aggressive about it versus when you need to help yourself, it can be so much harder. And like, what is that? You because know, we all experience that.
What is that? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's part of what they would say is our original sin, right? Like our lack of self-worth. I'm not sure if we behave in ways that we want to be treated also, right? I think there's a lot of, I'm sure psychologists and psychiatrists can give us lots of different things. But the way it plays out for me is that it's just kind of like this act of service. And, you know, one time I had this really good friend of me. He's like, oh, you're so kind. Like you're, because I love cooking for my family. He's like, you know, you're always doing it for everyone. And I giggled and I was like, oh, no, I'm the most selfish person, you know. He was like, no, you're not. And I was like, I do all of that because it makes me feel good. I don't really know if it's making them feel good. I mean, right? Like when I'm helping women or like I'm serving my family, sometimes I don't fully know if it's helping them. But to a certain extent, I know it's making me feel good. So again, to quote Miguel, he always says that the greatest is the equilibrium between gratitude and generosity, right? So when we're helping and we're being generous, but then having gratitude. And I think that if I were to say what the scale is that's balancing that gratitude and generosity, it would be respect, right? So how do we respect one another in being generous and respect one another and having gratitude? And then how do we do that for ourselves? Right? Because I think there's also a dynamic with our inner child versus our current when we're parenting ourselves, right? So we have to be the parent that's taking care of our inner child, but then we also have to be the inner child that's teaching and guiding the parent, right? So there's this kind of, that's what I think is the Trinity, right? Like, and then I'm in the middle, right? My current Raquel is in the middle. So there's my higher self that's also parenting and guiding me as an adult. And then I'm doing the same to try to take care of my inner child. And so how that plays out for us as women is natural nurturers. And then we're running businesses and being C-levels and taking care of, you know, we're still doing all of these things. I just have to tell myself sometimes, like, what would you say if you were defending your daughter? You know, and then I have to do that for myself. And I have to like be discerned and not be emotional, not be aggressive, not throw a tantrum, but just stay in a sense of power where I can defend myself and articulate what I need, you know, at work or in a contract or whatever that may be.
Yeah, that's a really good example.
Yeah. And I'm learning. Oh my gosh, I'm still learning. I'm barely getting used to myself and I'm 50. You know,
well, it's a journey, right? It's not like an end point, like, oh, I figured it out. You mentioned earlier and you kind of referred to Don Miguel and it cut out a little bit. So I want to make sure listeners heard that when you talked about gratitude and generosity that we were talking about Don Miguel. Can you talk a little bit about him and the work you did with the Four Agreements and how that's impacted you and your life and your work?
Oh, it's the Four Agreements are so ingrained in my life. They have been beautiful teachings. I don't know if it just resonates me, if it comes through my cultural teachings, being a Latina. And so there's things that culturally I would hear my grandma say. And then all of a sudden when I heard them saying through in the Toltec tradition and Don Miguel, it was like, oh, my grandma would say that. So it was very easy for me to take it in, you know. But then being able to work with him as his business manager, I don't even know how I managed to manifest that. That was just a miracle and a gift and like, what? Oh my gosh. You know, so, and it's interesting because someone that you look up to and you read their books and you admire, and then the gift of Don Miguel is once you're with him and in his presence, he's just like us. He's just like you. There's just, he's very humble. And so that in itself is a gift because you realize we're all the same. There's no above and below and there's no titles that make us better. That's all just junk. It's really silly. And so that was a gift that he gave me, you know, and he would tell me, you know, don't worry if you make a mistake, we can fix it. And I was like, what? So there was a lot of freedom that he gave me to just play. And that's what he would say, like, yeah, we're running a business, but we're playing, you know, we're creating, we're artists.
It sort of makes it all a bit lighter, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And we would laugh. Oh my gosh. So it's like taking yourself so seriously. Oh my gosh. That is just, and again, don't take anything personally, right? Like we would laugh about things and still, so that definitely carries over because I can make fun of myself. Like to the other type, it's hilarious.
I love that you mentioned this idea that we can be in the presence of someone who's so accomplished and so famous, even or
sure,
you know, so many achievements, so quote unquote successful, and then you see that their real insecurities and fears as well. And I see that a lot in some of the interviews I do. I was interviewing an author who has literally sold millions and millions of copies of like 30 different books. You know, it's like, how can you be more successful as an author?
Right.
And she said, I sometimes worry that I don't have anything else to say or write. And I was like, yes. What?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's those mm-hmm. moments that are really real that you can really relate to and say, everybody, yeah. no matter who you are, what stage you're at, we all have the same, you know, we really yeah. all have the same issues. It all boils down to a mm-hmm. few things.
Yes. And I think too that the way we use positive and negative, right? Like lying to ourselves versus being honest with ourselves. I think sometimes we have to do what we think is a perceived lie, right? So when everyone around us is telling us that we can write that book and you're like, oh, I don't think I'm good enough to write it. Right. Then you kind of have to, like, in that moment, you're lying to yourself when you're like, look, I can write this book. Let's get it done. But your perception is that you're lying to yourself. So that's when it's good to push yourself past that. Right. Mm-hmm. And then there's like, well, am I being honest with myself? Right. And so it's like, well, I now I need to be honest with myself and tell myself. So are you being honest? Are you lying to yourself? And this is where it becomes like, oh my gosh, it's just my belief system. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, what side do I want to take as truth and make the lie and identify as the lie or identify as the truth? Is everyone else telling me the truth or is everyone else lying to me?
Right.
That is the four agreements in a nutshell to me, right? That is the path to personal freedom, because once you can decide what you want, is it a truth or lie? And then you run with it. Because you're the only one really that's deciding. Everyone around you is not deciding for you. So that's why you don't take anything personally, because you're making those decisions for yourself, mm-hmm. right? That's why you don't make assumptions, because you're deciding, you're creating, you're putting that intent. That's your intent. That's how you live and that's how you play with your life energy.
Yeah. And does it also have to do with labeling your thoughts? Like, oh, that thought is a lie, or is it?
Yes. So that's the being impeccable with your word, right? So our words, I mean, I don't know about you, Giovanna, but I've had different relationships, and there have been times where I've told someone I loved them. And sometimes I said it out of obligation. Sometimes I said it because I thought I felt it, until I felt a deeper level of love. Or until I had my child, then that's a different love. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, oh my God, this is love, right? So, but in that moment in time, which is always do your best, right? With the information and the experience of the humanity that I had, when I said I loved you, it was true. But that doesn't mean when I say it again in a year, it's going to mean the same thing.
Right.
So I have to be impeccable with myself and my intent and where I'm at. Right. And then go with that moment and what is coming through me. And words are distorted. So the being impeccable with your word is more so about that internal intent that you have than the outside words we're telling everybody. And for that exact reason, that example, right? Like we say, I love you. And of course I mean it. But sometimes I don't mean it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm not in that space where I'm like, oh, I love you, you know? Or how often do I say that to myself? Right? Because we're the ones hearing all the words. I can be talking to 50 people, but they're going to land on 50 people differently. But I'm going to be the one that is hearing that voice, that vibration that comes through me. I'm the one hearing it. And so that's why it's the greatest gift for me to be impeccable with my word to myself. Right? What am I doing? What am I sharing? What am I allowing to come through me? What am I creating?
Well, I love that. I want to ask you about some of your other leadership roles. Can you talk a little bit about your role in leading a Latina Pay Equity Summit with the Women in Business, a committee of the Hispano Chamber? And why did you feel like you needed to have this summit? And what was the goal?
My great personal friend, Shannon Hackis, who we've been friends since we were like four. And she was at the chamber. And so she brought me on. It was her brainchild with another good friend of hers, Nicole Baceta, and they wanted to have a women in business program. And so when she went to the chamber, so I got folded into that and they asked me to come on with that. And then fast forward, like about a year later, Nicole had other opportunities. So she wasn't able to do it. And Shannon had other opportunities. She's now working with several chambers in the country. And so then there was me. And so then I ended up being in opposition. And so it was really in talking to the women that were showing up for this Women in Business program, right? There's like self-employed, there's small micro businesses, there's women that are starting consulting firms. There's just a large gamut. We have C-level people, that women that come in. But for me, we have the subcommittees. So we have a business development subcommittee and a social impact committee and the one mind, one body, and then the professional development. And so I was the one, we have four executives. So I ended up with professional development because of my four agreements. So then it just came to my attention, this equal pay day. And then it comes to my attention that Latinas don't need equal pay until December 8th. And it used to be October like 28th, and they're still celebrating it, I think, on October 5th. But it actually dropped. So again, me being the advocate and wanting, I was like, what the hell? I was shocked because here I am in a boardroom full of 60 Latinas and I know all of my sisters are educated. And I'm like, wait, this is not, it's not mapping, right? And so I started just doing research, honestly, Jib, and I started looking at it and I was like, oh my gosh, we're selling ourselves short. Like, it's really not their fault. I mean, it's their fault. Like, it's there's a level of patriarchy and all of that stuff. We do pay wages. But us as women, we're not even having the conversations about what we're getting paid because it's such a taboo. Mm. So then I was like, okay, here I am with the Hispanic Chamber. It's business driven. It's obviously very pro-business. We're not talking about living wage. They're not going to want to hear that. So I was like, how do we create this so that we can educate ourselves to just even know that we're not getting paid, right? Those scales, when that job shows you that the pay range is from, you know, 60 to 80,000, we go in there and we're like excited at 60. And the average white male is asking for 95 because they have no problem asking over what the pay range is, yeah, right? Because that's how they're trained. No, I'm worth this and I need the job and I'm taking care of my family. Well, we're taking care of our families too, like all the things that we tell ourselves. So I just said, you know what? We just need to educate ourselves. We can't be the victims. We can't go around and be like, oh, we're not paying the same. It's like, I didn't want that either, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't want it to just be another complaint session. So I was like, let's bring some women together. Let's share information. Let's talk about how we can do better. And let's also talk about what we're doing in our businesses, which is how you guys came up with the New Mexico Family Friendly. Was like, okay, there's companies and there's institutions out there that are giving us framework. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome. Why are we not doing this in our companies, right? And then I had to admit, and that came up, and I was like, oh yeah, when it really comes down to it, I say, no disrespect, but I say like my inner white old man, businessman comes up and I'm like, I don't want to pay for that. I'm like, he's like the person that is my inner architect, right? Because he's that hardcore bottom line, everything. And so I have to be honest with myself. Like, so I shared that with the ladies. I said, you know, ladies, when I'm working at two CV letters and the white male is saying he wants 85 and you're just as qualified as he is and you guys have the same background, but you're willing to do the job for 65 and that's what you ask for, I'm going to take you at 65 because I hate to tell you, that's just business. Mm. It's no different than you buying a cheaper notebook at Walmart instead of going to Barnes & Noble. It's really not that different. So how do I get you guys to ask for 85? How do we see it? Like, this is what we're worth. You go over, you ask for over, you push this. And so I think information is power. And I think when we share stories, it educates us, it elevates us. I think something that happens with women is that we isolate, right? Yeah. They've told us that we're competitive and that we can't talk to each other. And a lot of times when you're the only person in the boardroom and you know there's just one woman's position, you do try to kind of hang out with the boys a little bit so that you can fit in more. Mm-hmm. And honestly, Giovanna, I'm just over all of that. I don't want to do that anymore. It's just over. I'm just tired of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you're doing something about it. I like that you said, you know, I didn't want just a complaint session. I wanted to do something about it. And so you convened this group and really, really did talk about all of those issues. And I just want to say for listeners, you referred to the Family Friendly Business Award, and we'll link We'll link to that in the show notes too. We have a whole section on pay equity.
Yes.
But I also want to just say, you referenced your inner old white guy. And really, I love the way you talk about that, because it's really the internalized patriarchy, right? The internalized mm-hmm. sexism, where we start our words and actions actually reflect what we're mm-hmm. trying to change. And so it's really hard. It's like discerning and deciphering, like, whose voice is that? And what is that? And then asking that part of you that you've learned through mm-hmm. the systems that we've grown up in, mm-hmm. asking that part of you to step aside and thank you. I don't need you right now. I'm gonna continue mm-hmm. on over here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe heavily in duality, right? So I believe in like the positive and negative. I believe in the, but part of it is just like the truth and the lies, right? And it's my choice. Like, I'm the one creating truth, right? So I would always joke early in my career, because people would be like, oh, well, that little voice inside, you know? And I was like, you only have one voice. So my archetypes and what's going on in my head, I'm like, oh, there's at least 24.
Yeah.
And they all serve me very well. And they all are detriments to me at times when they're out of balance.
Yeah.
So I just strive for balance, because my inner white dude also has gotten me places because he's intelligent and he's smart and he, you know, will do things that I wouldn't do.
Yeah.
Right. And he's like, no, you can do that. Let's go. We got this. Right. So, but then sometimes he's on the other side and I'm like, oh, no, we don't need to do that anymore. Let's not do that.
Yeah. 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 Right. Yeah.
And I have conversations with all of them openly, Giovanna. All my archetypes in my head help me.
Well, right. It's about taking what's useful and then knowing when you don't need to listen to that either. I'm speaking with Raquel Benavides, and Raquel is the CEO of Bien Loca Industries, a medical and recreational cultivation and processing company in the cannabis industry. She's also the vice chair for the Women in Business program at the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce. And we'll be right back. If you're in burnout or in major transition, this is your time to figure out what's holding you back from making the changes you need in order to live your fullest, most joyful life. The causes of all our challenges, personal or professional, can actually be rooted in the lack of internal superpowers and external supports. Our Well Woman Life framework tells you which stage of the Well Woman life cycle you're in and what to do about it, so you can truly start living your life. You can find out more at wellwomanlife.com/quiz. We're back on the show with Raquel Benavides, and we're going into the segment called Superpowers for Success. We only have a few minutes left for this, but I do want to get through a few of the questions. The first one is, what does success in life mean for you?
I think it means peace. If I'm at the end of my time and I just have peace, I've been successful, because I don't want to be left with any conflicts. I don't want to be left with any, you know, the undone stuff. I just want to have peace in my heart.
Yeah.
That's definitely success for me.
Okay. And Raquel, when did you know you were really good at what you do?
I still don't think I am.
Yeah.
Still, I'm like, you know, pushing. I think there are certain things that other people would tell me, well, that just comes so easy to you, and I would overlook it. So I think when things are natural for you, you don't see it as a superpower, because it's kind of like what you always did. So I think that's where the self-doubt comes in. So I don't know if I'm still, honestly, Giovanna, nice. I think I'm really good at discerning things and I help other people in that way. But again, when it comes to my own discernment, it just gets all convoluted in my mind with the emotion sometimes. I don't know if I would say I really know I'm great at that. You know, I think I'm still learning and changing and adjusting, and other things come out. So
it's a journey. And but I do wonder, like, was there a moment early in your life where you noticed your ability to lead, like your leadership ability, and you were like, yeah, I'm really good at this. I can do this.
So That's kind of funny because like when I was little, I was very dominant, right? And so there's this meme and it's like, they're called leadership skills, damn it. It's like a meme with this like little girl yelling, right? Yeah. I'm not me. They're called leadership skills. And so I do kind of feel like, well, at times that's not cool, right? That's borderline abuse. But my mom has this picture when I was in Spanish dancing and I'm probably like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old. And I'm literally pointing at one of the other girls to get in her space. And it's the funniest picture because I'm like yelling at her. And my mom just caught it on an old school photo. So my sister was telling me like, oh, look, Raquel, it's you. Like, see, there was your leadership skill. I was like, I was mean. That was me. And so I think defining what leadership is and what you think it is, right? Like, you definitely have to put yourself out there. You have to be willing to be made a fool of, honestly, right? When you're the point of the arrow, you have to be willing to take that first hit and not really care.
Well, and there's a sense of knowing what you think is right. Right. Like even in that picture, you're like, you need to be in that line. Like, I know what it's supposed to be. Now, how you deliver that message is a whole other leadership skill, right?
It's just funny, you know, but I think one of the things for me is I'm big on consequences, and sometimes my consequences will kick me in my butt, right? Oh my God, it's tough. Because you choose to help somebody or you choose to put yourself in a certain situation. And so there is a little bit of part of me. My parents, my father was really always encouraging. And so when you have somebody that's kind of standing behind you, in a way, yes, it's you. But like when he passed, there was also the part of me was like, this whole time I thought I was strong, but it was really just my daddy. And so I had to like recalibrate that. And I'm like, no, Raquel, it's you. It's okay. Whether he instilled it in you or encouraged it in you, but honey, it's still yours now. Like you have to take ownership of that.
Yeah.
So again, I think the process, and I think we're all leaders, Giovanna, I think we all lead our own individual personal lives. And so I think every single person is a leader. I don't think that there's like followers and leaders. I think in certain circumstances, like I have to follow, right? We're not always that person. I think knowing that, like when we're the person of responsibility that has to take on the responsibility of that role, versus when we need to listen to somebody else because they have the responsibility and they're going to have to deal with the consequences. So we have to support them and follow and get in line with what their goals and their desires are. Okay. So I believe everyone to be a leader.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think I absolutely agree with you there. I'm going to move us through a couple more questions here. What can you describe a personal habit that contributes to your well-being so you can do everything you do in the world?
I'm very undisciplined, so this is difficult for me. I would say when I go back, my meditation is the key, my practices, right? Like the meditation, when I find myself going all haywire, it's because I'm not meditating the way I should. Yeah. When I don't go inside, it really messes me up and I just lose focus. I lose sight of what my purpose is. So for me, it's meditation. I have to go inside. I have to go inside. And that could be like maybe an hour before I go to bed or 30 minutes when I wake up. I love going and walking at the river, which has always been a blessing. When I was in San Diego, it was the ocean. So I have to be around the water. Because I'm a fire sign. So me going and calming myself down around the water is very, very important for me. Mm-hmm. It's important for my body and definitely important for my well-being. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Okay. And what superpower did you discover you had only to realize it was there all the time?
Oh, Giovanna, these questions. I think it's the discernment, right? Like a lot of people would say that, oh, Raquel, like you just see things in a different way. And so utilizing that in a positive way, because what would happen is everyone would tell other people that didn't like that I would see the alternative perspective, I come across as argumentative. So then people are like, well, you're just arguing. And I'm like, oh, I'm just trying to show you a different perspective. I'm not trying to argue with you. So,
right.
So that was something where, okay, that is really a superpower, Raquel. You can allow discernment. You can broaden people's perspectives. And that's very healthy and a wonderful thing to do. And so that was something that I just had to like learn how to like wield the sword, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
When you're young and you don't know how to wield your gifts, you're just swinging on everybody. Like yeah. A little rattlesnake, right? Like he doesn't know how to control his bite.
Yeah.
So that's, I think that's what it was.
I love that. And we talk a lot about that here in this community and on this show. And, you know, a lot of times our superpowers really are those things that we were criticized for when we were little or younger, you know, by a teacher, by a parent, like, you know, you're so argumentative. And then when you can turn that around and really embrace it and embrace the parts of it that you can use that are beneficial, that's when you can find your superpower. So just wanted to call that out.
And that's why, like, right. Like we were just talking earlier, like the truth and the lie. Right? When everyone else is lying, sometimes our superpower rubs everyone else the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to own it as our own attribute and our gift. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. What advice would you give your younger self, say 25, 30 years old?
Just don't fucking worry about what everyone is saying. Just do it, man. Just do you. Just screw all that. Just do you. And to the fullest. Like, don't hold back. Like, and don't hold that back to make other people feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
That is something. Do not hold back so that other people feel better about themselves. No, it's up to them to feel good about themselves. Like, no.
Yeah. It's not your responsibility.
It's not your responsibility. Like you can be compassionate. I'm not saying go out of your way to make somebody feel like shit, but it's like, no, do you, you know, and then bring them with you if they want to come.
Yeah. 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 That's great. Okay. Couple quick last questions. Do you identify as a feminist?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. For me, I mean, more so than a feminist, I'm an advocate, right? And because I'm a woman, I can also see the perspectives and the things and the way we've been oppressed and minorities have been oppressed, right? Right. Like all the deserved. I call them undiscovered. I hate to say underserved. I'm like, we're undiscovered. But absolutely. Like I love my ladies. And a lot of times the way it internalized for me is I didn't have female friends. So I was like, oh my God, they're complaining and they're, you know, whining and they're soft. And so I had to like reformulate that in my mind. But absolutely, I think a woman, if she wants to be a stay-at-home mom, I think that's feminist. I think she gets to choose to do that. I think if she wants to go to work, she gets to choose to do that. I think if she wants to be non-monogamous, she gets to choose to do that. And so for me, it's really about the choice. I think respecting people's, and honestly, I think the same thing is for men. Like I've always said, I don't know how minority men aren't huge feminists because we're really right there with them, you know?
Yeah.
And those levels of patriarchy and misogyny, they serve only a higher field. And they should be right there marching with us because our oppression really is theirs. So I'm definitely a feminist. Yeah.
Okay. Last question, Raquel. What are you reading right now? What's on your nightstand?
I have a stack on my nightstand, truth be told, because I bounce in books. But I was just reading The Sexual Magic of Isis. And it's a powerful book about, it's really more about Kama Sutra. There's a lot of things in there, but it's about the energetic orgasmic energy within women and how we utilize that.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, okay. That's a big one.
Yeah, that's good. We're going to link to that in the show notes. We love to share what our guests are reading. So we'll put that in the show notes for listeners. And Raquel, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show today.
Oh, it's been my honor, honey. Thank you so much.
That's it for our show today. Remember, if you need support to live your well woman life, head over to wellwomanlife.com. As a reminder, we are on NPR every week, so be sure to tune in at npr.org/podcasts and search for The Well Woman Show. If you enjoyed today's show, please take a moment and subscribe and leave a review. This helps raise visibility, which is super helpful when it comes to producing the show every week. For feedback, comments, or just to let me know you were listening, find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Well Woman Life. I'm Giovanna Rossi for The Well Woman Show. Until next time, have a super powerful week.